Hey everybody, welcome back to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. NCAA Football 14 upon us, just mere months away. First large round of information released on gameplay. Big item. One of those that, since we're early enough out, we don't get to see a lot of footage with it, but we get to learn a lot of the ideas, concepts, and basically the building blocks of what we can expect come July 9th. Before we get into the gameplay reveal, let's talk about some of the other information surrounding the game. NCAA Football 14 on PS3 and 360 only will be available July 9th, 2013. Your cover athlete after a long, long cover vote, Michigan quarterback Denard Robinson. The pre-order bonus is already revealed. Ultimate Team focused, that's something we'll talk about a little later in the show. The full reveal on Ultimate Team will be May 15th. We don't know what that entails. A lot of discussion, a lot of rumors. How's it going to work without a proper player license? We'll have to wait and see. However, the pre-order bonuses all center around different conferences, depending on which retailer you get the game from. Now, I'm bringing in my co-host, Tommy. It's been a long time. How do you feel? What do you think about what we've heard so far?
It's all very early. I mean, we've still got 3 months to go before we even, you know, get the game in our hands. But at this point, it's kind of one of those things that they've shown game. It's kind of strange that they've shown gameplay as the first thing this year, just because, you know, really at this stage, there's still a lot of work that they're going to be doing with gameplay. There's still a lot of tweaking, still a lot of changes, stuff like that, that, you know, they kind of gave us, you know, the overview of everything, but they didn't really go into any real depth with everything. You know, at this point, it's still very early, still a lot to find out, and I'm sure EA will still release a lot more information, even just on gameplay. But at this point, it's, you know, we're 3 months out, and people are starting to get hungry for information, and so now they're starting to get it.
Well, especially with college basketball season being over, I saw somebody on Twitter say, the end of college basketball, you know what this means, the start of college football with spring games. Some already completed, other teams still in spring practice, spring game to come. So obviously I think that's why now people are really clamoring to find out what's coming in NCAA Football 14. And before we get into gameplay discussion, let's talk about, real briefly, between you and I, we had been to the January and March events. We were both at the March one, only I was at the January one between the two of us. So we've played the game and seen these things in it that we're going to talk about. However, they aren't final. So we can't come on and say real detail specifics because we won't know the answer until July 9th, just like the community. However, we can explain how we understand things to work, what we saw during our time with the game. We'll try to get as detailed as we can, but we're obviously not going to be extremely detailed because, honestly, we cannot be at this time and be accurate and fair to the community and to the game and to the developers. It's one of those things that something that might be, you know, might have been a concern to us in March and in that first week may not be an issue come July 9th, and something that wasn't a concern could be come release date. So let's keep that in mind as we go through the podcast. NCAA football gameplay. Like you said, it's kind of tough to show it off. I know I talked to some uni members who, like me, they said this maybe next year they want this to kind of back clean up, be second or third, so you can show a little bit more. Because right now it's a lot of articles talking about it from Game Informer, Kotaku, Polygon. I think even Bleacher Report had an article. And as you said in the pre-show, you had to read all of them to kind of piece things together. Like one article would have a line or two about a feature that the other one wouldn't. But let's talk about the big item. And there's probably really two that leap off the page that we saw in the first and only so far official EA Sports gameplay video. Infinity Engine 2, not 2.0, just 2, and the new Force Impact system. Infinity Engine coming over from Madden, and I hate to use the word coming over, but it was introduced in Madden 13. This is not simply a copy and paste. It has been revamped, improved. And before we get into the details, the one thing that we each talked about, you know, as related to Madden last year was that people either loved or hated the physics, and the people who really didn't like it, I think one of the sticking points was all that goofy clown car stuff post-play. Between January and March, a lot of that stuff improved in NCAA football. I'm not going to say it was all gone, but so much of that goofy post-play stuff was not there in March. What did you think of that aspect before we get into the nuts and bolts of it?
Yeah, I'd say it was much better. I mean, I played Madden a little bit just to kind of get a feel for the Infinity Engine and things like that. But, you know, I'm not a big Madden guy, so I didn't really spend too much time with it. But, you know, the post-play stuff was glaringly bad. I mean, you and I played a game, and it literally looked like another player was trying to do like a figure four leg lock on him or something like that. I mean, it really was laughable. But with, you know, NCAA, it wasn't there. I mean, there were still a few things of, you know, guys, you know, bumping into players or, you know, that kind of stuff that was kind of strange, but at the same time wasn't laughable. It was just like kind of caught your attention a little bit. But, you know, it definitely was big. And I kind of look at them putting the Infinity Engine on Madden 13 as almost like a quote-unquote community event for a year long for that feature. I mean, honestly, I think if they had not put it on Madden 13, it probably wouldn't be as good as what we'll see on NCAA 14, just because now they've had a year of feedback and they see all of the glaring things that they put out there, and, you know, they can kind of put a focus on, you know, the changes that they need to make for NCAA 14 and Madden 25.
And it's one of those things where, and this is going to sound bad, but I don't mean this with any, you know, bad intentions, that in March, at times I almost forgot the physics were in there because that goofy post-play stuff was almost the calling card for it in Madden 13, and with so much of it cleaned up for, you know, the March build of NCAA 14, at times I forgot, because you're just playing football after a while. So I think that's one of those that people were wondering how much of this is just going to be, you know, Madden 13, you know, point two. And I would say it's its own beast. It's going to be bigger and better than what Madden 13 had, and it'll be interesting to see what Madden 25 has. But let's talk about the Infinity Engine 2. Something they've added on with it is the Force Impact System. And if I understand the preview articles and the way it worked last year, the Infinity Engine, at least in Madden 13, was basically how tackles were configured, how they were played out, that part of the game. This year, the Force Impact System, from what I've gathered from previews, is everything else. And the big example we saw in the video and in through most of the articles was that the Force Impact System really is evident and seen in stiff arms, in the truck move, etc., to where it is almost body region, body part specific, where if you stiff arm someone in the head, their neck's going to step back, you know, snap back. If they get hit in the shoulder with maybe, you know, lowering your head or lowering your shoulder, that's the part of the body that's going to reflect it. That is not a single solitary reaction or animation for all these things. Is that it's going to be a little more detailed, specific, and it basically will be utilizing the real-time physics in it. It's one of those things that at the community event, I don't think it was perfected yet. Obviously, being March, it wasn't. But it really felt like some of the hit sticks and the truck stick, especially the truck stick, finally had some, you know, momentum and weight behind it. And I can't say that I ever thought that the truck stick on Next Gen was ever very good. That it seems like 14 has potential now to where that aspect of it is finally, I don't want to say usable, but realistically usable. What did you think in your playing time in March with the Infinity Engine 2 and the Force Impact System?
Well, overall, Infinity Engine, you can, like you said, it is good enough that it becomes to a point that you don't, you know, it's not over the top. You don't sit there and see it every play or anything like that. I mean, it's there, it happens every play, but it's not over the top that you say, you know, oh, I saw that happen or whatever. But with the Force Impact System, it's one of those things that you may not see it in the particular play or whatever, but it does come into effect. It does come into play. And then there will be times that you do see it come into a play and you are wowed because, wow, I hadn't seen that at all. I hadn't seen that happen. I know one specific time in March that I laid a big hit on a ball carrier and I hit him kind of up high, and you did see his head, you know, drastically snap back. It wasn't like I saw it every play or anything like that. It was just a one-time thing, and I had to absolutely stop, pause it, go into replay and check it out, just because it was something that was impressive. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, like every year there's a new animation that kind of catches your attention. In this case, since it is more dynamic, since it's not all animation driven, it's, you know, physics driven, it's going to be stuff that you're going to see, you know, every game, every few games, you know, even all the way into January, you might be seeing stuff that truly does impress you and makes you have to pause and go check it out.
Along with that, the video also highlighted more momentum, especially foot planting and cuts, and it also ties into a new feature, and feel free when I shift it to you to talk about any part of this. It goes into acceleration and fatigue to where, let's say, you want to change directions after a juke or just, you know, you see a defender coming and want to do a change of direction with your running back, you can do that. They will slow down. They will decelerate, as they put it in the videos. Then you can use the quote-unquote new acceleration feature, holding down the right trigger, or R2, to try to get them back to speed relatively quickly. It's something that the last couple years, that element was optional and defaulted to off, so a lot of gamers had to learn not to press R2 or right trigger. Well, now you want to get back in the habit of using it. But I think it's one of those things that combined with now momentum being a factor, you know, with the foot planting, with the cuts, we learned that jukes have been improved. That's something that I'm really anxious to see come the demo and retail version, how they work and how effective they can and cannot be depending on the player. But there may be a lot of, I don't want to say minor, but things that are really going to change how you run the ball, because that's one of the big focuses in the video.
The running definitely, it kind of feels a little bit different. It's not just one of those big changes that you know, it's the big focus for this year or anything like that. It's definitely something that once you get your hands on it and kind of feel the difference, you know, it is different between 13 and 14 particularly. Especially the one that sticks out to me is that new acceleration burst, is that, you know, now instead of it being a speed burst or whatever to get to your top speed, instead it's something that just simply kind of gives you that extra quick step. And you'll definitely notice it on players that have really high speed, really high acceleration. Oregon halfback HB6, he really was a player that you could feel the difference between him and another player. Like if you had a bruising running back and a speedy, shifty running back, you can definitely tell the difference between the two, between the hit stick and truck stick, but then also the acceleration burst. Once you hit that acceleration burst, he does hit the hole and hits it fast. I mean, you know, you can definitely feel the difference between the two players because of that. You can finally, it you know, makes it so that there is a, you know, it's not going to be drastic. It's not going to be every player feels different from another player, but you are going to feel a major difference between the shifty guy and the big, powerful guy.
I like your example of the Oregon halfback six. I had that in one of our games down there playing against David Shad from Tradition Sports. Made the mistake of kicking off to the Oregon halfback number six. Trust me, I never felt so dumb in my whole life, because you could tell, and Grant, I'm sure he, controlling him, could tell this, and myself defending this or trying to tackle this guy, you could see how quick he was just through the hole, that it really made, like, you know, a speed back really felt quicker. And I'm obviously the ratings play a huge factor in that, but I like it when the top-end players, you can just tell. Like, I didn't have to go in the ratings and kind of guess and think, well, he's kind of good. No, you can tell. And that's something that the last couple years with improvements, the game has gotten better about that, but as a whole on next-gen has not been a strong point. So I think this is it's something that hopefully in 14 will be something where these top-end players really, really stand out, especially speed backs and speed players, like you said, Oregon halfback number six. The improvements to the run game also tie into run blocking. That's something they talked about, and again, I'm anxious for the demo, I'm anxious for retail, even just gameplay videos to see this more in action. I will give one example. Someone in the community asked, well, what about wide receiver blocking downfield? Do they do anything? Because traditionally it's been, they go down, touch them, you know, they touch the defensive back, and that's it. You know, they get off the block easy. I had to play in practice mode. I think I showed this to you. Counter to the left, I'm just goofing around, so I'm like, okay, I'll cut back. What's the worst that can happen? It's practice mode, no problem. I was able to, with a fast running back, and I'm sorry, I forget what team and player I was using at the time, able to cut back basically against the grain, other side of the field, wide receiver the whole time. Excellent, just dominating the defensive back he is blocking. It may have been a bit extreme, I think we kind of agreed when, you know, I think I showed you on the screen, but it was something that had never existed on next-gen NC football, and I don't even remember if last-gen had something like that. So I remember in the feedback I put, it's awesome. It may have been a little strong, but this is the first time I remember seeing a wide receiver able to actually block and do anything downfield. What were your thoughts on the improved run blocking we saw? And there was quite a different areas of improvement that they showed us in March.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest improvement to me is going to be the lead blocking, especially like fullbacks and pulling linemen and stuff like that, that now, you know, let's say they're leading you through a hole up the middle of the field, you don't have to worry about them stopping in the middle of the hole and turning around and trying to go get, you know, the guy that's on the other side of the screen or whatever. Instead, you know, he's going to lead you through that hole. He's going to try and find the first threat that he can find and, you know, make sure to take that guy out so that you can keep running past him. You don't have to worry about, am I going to get kind of sucked into the middle of this hole with nowhere to go? And then as well on the outside, they do a much better job of finding a guy to get to. You know, if there's a guy that's already waiting for them on the outside, they'll hit him. If they don't see anybody immediately there, then they'll kind of try to keep going upfield and try to find the next best threat or whatever. So it's definitely, the run blocking is definitely much better. It still kind of uses the same mechanics that we saw before, but it's much better in that, you know, the linemen are much more intelligent on who to block, and as well, you know, with the help of Clint Oldenburg, one of the developers that used to play offensive line, he basically went through and, you know, kind of set all of these different scenarios of this guy should block that guy, so on and so forth. I mean, it's kind of scripted in a sense that in the game of football, everything should be dynamic, everything should change from play to play, but at the same time, it is better than what we saw in 13 and years past. So it's going to be nice to see, and I think a lot of people are going to appreciate the changes, but it's not just over-the-top, you know, overhaul or anything like that.
The option game, also a big area of improvement for NC 14. Just a bunch of improvements, including, you know, formations. I believe if pitch types was mentioned in one of the previews, the CPU execution, a new option playbook. You put in quite a bit of time at the March event, so I think it's only fair to let you expand on this. And afterwards, I want to talk about the read and pitch keys, but feel free to mention that in your preview and discussion here as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's really a lot that is kind of going into this the new option game for the offense that, like you mentioned, the pitch and read keys, basically pre-play, you can tell who you're supposed to be reading as far as that goes. And if you motion a guy, then, you know, that kind of dynamically changes as the players move around. So, I mean, there's really a lot that goes into that. And I think a lot of people who either didn't understand how football works in that regard or just simply didn't know how EA implemented it, I think they'll really appreciate this just so that they can kind of know, they can expect what will happen. But then as well, you know, a lot of things, like you said, the new spread option playbook, there are, I think I saw on video, Larry Rehart was talking about that there's 300 plus plays in this one playbook that are all just spread option, and it's all new plays, new formations, so on and so forth, that it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of play around with. And it also brings in a lot of the plays that people have been wanting, like the midline option, the veer option. Just kind of a lot of new toys to kind of play with, and it'll be interesting to see how everybody adapts that into their game and how they kind of work with it, just because it does add a new wrinkle. And then on top of that, we've also got the CPU and option. That seems to be one of the areas that they kind of, you know, made sure to put in quite a bit of time on, is that the CPU now runs the option a lot better, not only in terms of play calling and you know, if you're a flexbone team, you're going to run a lot of flexbone triple option. But then as well, the execution, you know, do you hand it to the fullback? Do you, you know, when the quarterback and pitch man get outside, keeping the relationship proper and, you know, when to pitch it and so on and so forth. There was still, you know, quite a bit of work that they needed to do. You know, it seemed like the quarterback was keeping it too often when they should have pitched it or whatever, but it's definitely something that we talked to them about, and it sounded like it should be drastically improved even by the time of release, that, you know, it should feel a lot better in that regard. But overall, it's definitely an improvement for the CPU, and I think it, you know, in years past, anytime you played a flexbone team in Dynasty, you pretty much could chalk that off as a win. Now at least you'll have to play, you know, play proper defense and make sure to actually try to contain the option instead of just chalking up as a win.
One of the things mentioned in the press release for NC Football 14, it talked about how, I believe it mentioned some of the option improvements, and that they really wanted the game to be where all 126 schools, which basically confirms South Alabama, Georgia State, and Old Dominion in the game, which I think we knew before, but it's good to see that confirmed. They want all 126 schools to play like their true selves. And with so many teams having some form of option, whether it be a spread option, traditional option, and I know it's still early, so I'm not going to hold you down and, you know, July 10th, you know, put you on trial for this. But do you think that these improvements will really help all these teams play to their styles and play true, as EA puts it?
I definitely think it'll be better. You know, I don't think you're necessarily going to see, you know, a big difference between, let's say, Georgia Tech versus Navy. I mean, granted, the Georgia Tech playbook, I would assume, will have some pistol stuff that they ran last year, and I think actually Navy kind of started incorporated some more shotgun stuff. So you may see some a little bit different stuff like that, but as far as, like, you know, the way that Georgia Tech runs their flex bone versus the way that Navy runs their flex bone, I don't think they're going to be that terribly different. You know, you're not going to see play calling schemes or anything like that. They're going to be completely different from one to another. But at the same time, I think you're going to see that those teams can run their offense much better than they did before. I mean, you're going to see Oregon, for example, even though, you know, they run the option, but even on years past, they didn't run it near as well as they should have. So now you should see Oregon teams that can just simply run up and down the field using, you know, option and plays off of that option. So it definitely will be better. How, you know, much better, time will tell. But at the same time, it's one of those things that they're improving, and I don't know if it's going to be a big leap or just going to be a small step. So we'll see.
And I would agree with you on that. I think it's a pretty tough to get all 126 schools to play like their actual selves. And that's not a knock on EA. I think it'd be tough for any, you know, computer program to try to replicate, because with some teams, the difference is simply aggressiveness on fourth down. Some of it's, you know, special teams, if they run a lot of fakes, how they hurry to the line, that there's so many different variables for each team that they could be very similar in several regards, but vastly different in others, that it's a huge task. But I do like that EA, over the last few years, is trying to get that they realize that if a user on people like on our side of the game, Tailgate or other sites, you know, they might like to play a couple Dynasty games in one sitting. And if each team feels the exact same, it's going to get old real quick. That over the last few years, you know, teams do feel a little different, that anything to make them feel, you know, widen how different they are, I think can only help the longevity and replayability of the game. Going along with these option improvements are read and pitch keys, and it's something that, to be honest, I don't think was explained very well in any preview I read. It's something that when I first heard about it in January, just the basic, very, very basic synopsis, basically saying, before the play starts, you're going to see who you need to read, who you need to watch for the pitch man, and it, to me at the time, and a lot of community members had the same thought, thinking, okay, this is going to make the option way too easy, that you're going to know what to do, that now it's just going to be too easy, be money plays. Well, the way it works is it's something in pre-snap, basically the coach cam, you hold down the right trigger, and if the mechanic hasn't changed, you hold up on the right stick, and it will simply either have a circle or a square or a triangle, like I forget the shape designation, basically thin white circle, for example, around a player, and it'll say pitch, and it might have a square and say read on a defensive lineman, for example, depending on what kind of option play is going on there. And that's it. And that once you let go of Coach Cam, it's gone. And while it tells you who you need to watch, you still have to have the timing down, say, on a read option to watch him and be quick enough to either hit X again or not hit X or to hold X, to, depending what you want to do with the ball. You still have to make the proper pitch. You don't know what other players are going to do. You don't know if the play is going to get blown up. If you're playing a human, who knows what they're going to do, if they're going to manually control someone else and interfere with the play. That I think it's almost a nice teaching method that isn't intrusive and doesn't insult the user. I've heard a lot of even experienced players, guys who've been playing NCAA football for years and they log 50 to 100 plus hours a year on it, who have told me kind of in private, like, I'm not very good at running the option. And the last couple of years, I put together a very, very basic tip video on the read option that probably doesn't even do it justice for what the game offers. And it's one of those that is usually the more well-received, because even the experienced players don't like to admit when they don't know how to do something. But it's something that EA really hasn't taught. They haven't shown it much. So I think this is an addition that very underrated. I understand the community concerns, but after seeing it in action, I don't think they need to be terribly concerned about it.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I mean, it's something that even me, you know, I know how to run the read option. That's to me, that's easy. It's kind of become second nature at this point in its life. But as far as, you know, once you're outside and you've got a pitch-man relationship, there have been times in the past that I would, you know, just become full of rage because there's a lead blocker there, but yet he didn't block him. And the reason why he didn't block him is because that's the pitch-man that you're supposed to read. You're supposed to – he's going to react one way or another. And, you know, if he attacks the quarterback, then you pitch it. And if he doesn't – if he attacks the running back, then you keep it and turn it up. And so EA is basically intentionally leaving him unblocked because he is that pitch read. And, you know, granted, I knew that you were supposed to read him and everything like that, but at the same time, I never knew pre-play who that guy was going to be. But now this is going to kind of indicate, based on what the defense is showing and based on what play you're running, so on and so forth, it'll tell you who you're reading for that pitch, and so you can expect for him to go unblocked, and you can expect, you know, once you hit him, then you have to make a decision on whether to keep it or pitch it. So it's going to be a big boost. Even people who are seasoned veterans, you know, that have been playing the game for years, but may not necessarily know the exact X's and O's on how stuff like that works.
Another gameplay thing we're going to talk about, and we should note, there's other improvements that have been formally announced or people have picked up on through screenshots, videos, through these previews. Go to thegamingtailgate.com, click on NCAA 14 Info Central at the top of the page. Everything we see on the web about this game, everything we can gather, everything that's been announced will be there. And it has everything we know so far that's been announced in gameplay. The last one we wanted to bring up and talk about a little bit of specifics, the stumble mechanic. This is something that I think there's been some form of it in the game for a year or two, and I may be wrong on the dates, but basically when your player starts stumbling, you can recover. One of the things is a lot of people didn't know, well, do I just let go of the sticks? Do I need to pull back on the sticks? What's the proper point in the animation to do this? When am I, basically, for lack of a better word, when am I screwed? And am I going to fall down no matter what? What this is basically is that when you start entering a stumble, it'll briefly, and you have a very, very small window to do it, it'll tell you, you know, at least in the build we saw, maybe it'll change in retail, but basically you pull back on, I believe, the right stick, or maybe it's the left stick. And it's one of those, when I'm not holding a controller, I always have to think about it. Basically, it'll tell you when to pull back and to give you a chance to recover from the stumble. I know people say, well, is it money? You would think it might be if it's telling you every time. And maybe I'm just not quick on the sticks like I used to be, but I didn't find it to be money in the March build. Who knows how it'll be later on. But I did like that it told me, you know, this is your window, this is your chance. I thought it was kind of tough to do, but it obviously should not be something that's exploitable or easy every time. What did you think about the stumble mechanic?
Yeah, I really actually did like it. I mean, it took me a while to kind of get a feel for it, and, you know, they didn't give us like a guidebook on hit, this is what you do or whatever. They just kind of put us in front of the game and we started playing. And the more I started playing, you know, the more I realized kind of how to work with it. It is on the right stick. As your player starts to stumble, then they'll have either an up or a down arrow. And so, like, if you press up on the right stick, then he'll maybe, let's say, put his hand down or whatever and try to catch himself. But then in the same moment, after you do that, you may have to press down again to kind of fully recover, you know. So, I mean, it's not like it's just, you know, press a button, you're done or whatever or anything like that. And it is very much that you have to, you know, be paying attention to. And, like, if you're trying to look up field and you're not looking at your player, then you won't notice that he's in a stumble or something like that. So, I mean, it's definitely something that's not going to be money. It's not going to be anything that just is, you know, 100% happens all the time, and somebody who plays the game all the time is going to be recover every time or anything like that. It's I would assume it's somewhat ratings-driven, but I can't say that for certain. But it's a mechanic that I'm glad it's in there, and it'll be interesting because now you don't have to worry about, all right, every time this animation plays, I'm automatically going down. It's something that now you're going to have. It's not going to be every single tackle. It's not going to be every single play, but you're going to have opportunities to where you can recover and pick up a few extra yards.
Real quickly, I will add, and I may be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure in one of the previews, at least, it said it would be dependent on the player's rating. But obviously, this is a feature that, to be honest, it wasn't. We were not told in advance it was added. I think we just started playing the game, and somebody's like, "What is this?" And we kind of gathered around or peeked on screens or waited till we ran into it. So it's something that I don't think is exactly final, but I'm like you. I like the idea of it because before it was, you didn't know. It was, well, you knew you could do it, but how, similar to the read and pitch key, something that people know what's in there, but they didn't really know how it worked, what to look for. Now we do. Let's get to some community questions that we've seen at large that we want to talk about. The first one I want to talk to you, and I think it's obvious, I think almost everything we talked about has been offense-oriented. So naturally the question becomes, what about the defense? We learned in a three-minute interview with Machinima Sports and Ben Heilmiller, he talked about the defensive breakdown feature. I believe that was the first or one of the rare spots that mentioned it. I'll have you talk about what that is. It's something that was not wasn't finely tuned in the build we played, so I don't think we can give a verdict on it. We can tell you how it works and what it's supposed to do. And also, EA had mentioned at the community events that they wanted defense to be fun. They realized it had not been for users in the past. So I'm a little surprised there were not more discussion of how these improvements aid the defense, but it's something that may come later on, because obviously offense is a lot more marketable than defense, and it's not much fun to hear about a game that added a bunch of features that's going to make it tougher for you to score. But I do hope that leading up to July, they will show the hardcore fans, here's what we've done for defense, because while I can see where it may not be fun to hear how, quote-unquote, you know, it's tougher to score, it is fun to hear, here's how you're going to shut the computer down and keep them from scoring. What do you think about, is there a lack of changes to defense, or is there perhaps a need for EA to do a better job of explaining how these other improvements tie into defense?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, for one, it's a lack of changes because, you know, you're giving all of these new tools to the offense. Last year we had the new passing trajectories. We had the new, you know, the passing mechanic to where you could direct the ball a little bit more, that kind of stuff. And then as well we saw to where finally the read option was a hugely powerful offense. And this year we're getting even more of that stuff, but the defense doesn't have a way to really counteract it. They don't have really, you know, run fits like they should. They don't have gap control. They don't have leverage. You know, there's not really even a mechanic that you can tell your defensive end to always stay home on the read. You know, if you want him to always control that quarterback, there's not a way to do that. He just simply kind of seemingly, and I'm not sure the exact way that it works, but he seemingly kind of does it at random. And if somebody's good at reading, then they're going to be able to pick up yards pretty much every play. But, you know, it's one of those things that, like you said, you know, offense is kind of the glory hound that's what people want to hear about. They want to, you know, people have fun. Yeah, there's a lot of people that have fun playing defense and having low-scoring games, but most people, your everyday casual guy, has fun, you know, scoring touchdowns, and that's how they want to, you know, enjoy the game, and that's kind of what marketing is pushed for in this case, that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we see come out has been all offense stuff. So it's one of those things that it's a hard balance, but it's also something that they've got to do more with to make it to where, you know, if you add one year, you add a big boost for offense, then the next year you've got to do something to counteract that for the defense.
What did you think about the defensive breakdown? It's something that didn't get much attention in the video. It was mentioned in the Machinima Sports interview with Ben Hellmiller, and I don't remember seeing it in many previews, if any. It was something that I didn't think it was in completely or properly in the builds we played. Do you want to explain what it's supposed to do and how it'll work?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, in March, it really wasn't finely tuned, and there was still quite a bit of work that needed to be done with it, so I'll be interested to see, you know, once we get the demo and the retail game. But it's basically to where the player will kind of square up his shoulders and try to, you know, let the running back come to him, and, you know, they basically break down. And you know, like I said, there was still a lot of work to be done, so I don't know specifics on how it is going to work, but I didn't really like it, just because even though they were breaking down, it didn't seem to give you that distinct advantage that now I'm going to be able to, you know, ensure that I make this tackle. You know, mm-hmm. In 13, you could basically run to the tackle and continue to make the tackle every time, but in real football, you break down, you have to kind of stop and make sure to make the tackle so that the guy doesn't run right by you, and you know, you don't have two players that are running full speed end up running past each other or whatever. So it'll be interesting to see how exactly it works and what exactly it'll do, but it, in theory, what it should do is basically allow you to stop, not let the guy run by you, to at least get a hand on him and slow him down. Some of the stuff that I do want to touch on that they haven't really talked about or, you know, we haven't really seen discussed very much is that they have, you know, kind of fixed some of the issues that 13 had. I mean, like, for example, the defender that would always kind of just continue backpedaling against the option. I did not see that at all in March, so I would assume, and to my understanding, it is fixed. So we should not see that in 14 at all. And then as well, a lot of the pass coverage for the defense, all of that kind of, it seemed to be quite a bit better. It was possibly almost too good to the point that it was, you know, stopping the pass too much, and you know, even with poor defensive backs, you know, we're playing the man coverage too well. But, you know, all that stuff will be tuned, and I'm sure we'll play a little bit different once we by the time we get the full release. But there definitely are changes to that, and I want to make sure that defense didn't go untouched, so it's not like you're gonna just going to rehash of 13's defense. You are going to get some changes, but there's not, you know, the glory, like I said before, the glory hound is on the offense this year.
Something mentioned briefly in the early previews, personnel-based play calling. I've seen some of the community members ask a little bit more detailed how this works. I know you looked at this and talked to some of the devs about it, and I think it's something that the Harker guys are going to like. Explain personnel-based play calling for those who may not know what that is.
Essentially what this is just like in 13 and years past, you had the ability to back out, you know, by formation playbooks. You could back out to where you call plays by the play type. So if you want inside runs or outside runs or shotgun passes, you could do that. Now you can also do that by personnel. So like if you want to choose your personnel, so let's say that your offense has three great receivers, a great tight end, and a good running back. So you want all of your plays to kind of center around that personnel. You can do that. You can go in there and select 11 personnel, which is one halfback, one tight end, and it'll give you all of the formations and all of the plays that have that type of personnel. And to go along with that as well, what they've done is it's actually when you hot route, or excuse me, when you no huddle, you'll only have that same personnel that you started the drive with. So if you start a drive with 11 personnel, as you continue that, you'll only have formations that are 11 personnel. So, you know, if you've only got one formation with, you know, 11 personnel or 10 personnel with one back and zero tight ends, then you're going to be stuck in that formation. So you basically kind of have to plan your drive a little bit as you go out. And I don't like it in the sense that because there's some things that they didn't really do with package subs and stuff like that and formation subs, it doesn't really reflect those very well. But I do like it in the sense that I don't have to worry about specifically the computer. I don't have to worry about them calling five wide, getting a big play, and then turning around and calling a goal line formation with that five wide personnel. You know, it's definitely something that it's going to be a big benefit for the defense as far as the computer goes, but at the same time, it's kind of handcuffing the offense. At least my offense, it handcuffs it to a degree because now I can't have that tight end split out wide in a four wide receiver type set. Even though I had 11 personnel, now I want to, you know, split the tight end out. In order to do that, I have to make sure to go back to the play call screen and change up formations from there.
In terms of standard play calling, this is going to be basically another option. Right now, I believe you can call plays by formation. You can call it by, you know, run type, or excuse me, play type, meaning run, pass, option, etc. This is something that be another option, so you're not defaulted to it or forced to use it if you do not want to. But like you said, though, if you go into a huddle, though, you will be restricted to your personnel, which makes sense and probably avoids some exploits. But like you said, though, there are a few drawbacks for guys who like to play straight but do, you know, some variants of things. So that I can see some drawbacks on that, but hopefully long-term this is a good addition. Probably the biggest community question, maybe second to, you know, what changes on defense exist, computer AI and play calling, something that has plagued the franchise for a long time, especially on next gen. 13, I think a lot of people who have said that, you know, they like 13, a lot of good things in it, but they get run into moments where the computer will make an absolutely boneheaded play call. They will not use timeouts correctly. They will just do different things that really detract it from a great game. That'll be great until the last minute or two of the first half, or even worse, the last minute or two of the game, and the computer just absolutely blows any chance they have of coming back to win or even holding on to win a game. Something that the EA team has told us they've worked on this is something we heard in January, we heard it in March. When we were at the March event, we ran into some odd play calling, some odd AI, or maybe poor, to put it nicely, provided that feedback, and we have heard back that a lot of the feedback we gave, they've looked into, they've gone in, they fixed some things with the play calling script. Granted, we have not seen this, so we can't put our hand on a Bible and swear that it's in there corrected, but it seems like there's a genuine focus that they realize, and I think something that we stress, and I know I put it verbatim in my notes, that it doesn't matter how good these other features are, If the computer is downright moronic at times, it negates a lot of hard work put into other features. And it sounds like they may, you know, it's getting through and they agree, which I believe they should. And hopefully we'll see that come July 9th. What do you think about the AI issues? Is that something that hopefully we'll see improved?
Yeah, I really do think so. I mean, it was something that in March that we saw, you know, actually a fair amount of issues with it. I mean, like you said, poor is putting it mildly. I would go so far as to say just downright awful. You know, especially late game situations. If you're, you know, down by one score and you got 5 seconds left, you don't call a halfback draw on a third and 10 or whatever. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of room for improvement that they had, but at the same time, after we event, we've kind of gotten feedback and discussion from them that it seems like they found a bug that was causing a lot of the issues to occur, and they have fixed it. So it sounds like, at least from their perspective and what they tell us, it sounds like it's, you know, very strong, you know, expectations that it will be corrected for 14 release. So, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, it seemed like even 13 had gotten worse than what it had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was glaring. It was one of the big issues that they had to address. And it seems like while in March we didn't see the reflection of it, it seems like, you know, going forward that it is something that should be, you know, especially late game situations, should be considerably better.
So where do we go from here? The gameplay, the improvements are out. Obviously, we're going to probably have to wait a little while to get any concrete videos of a build that's close to final or you know, relatively tuned and balanced. But we know what's coming up. EA Sports has released the upcoming playbook schedule, meaning when they will put out blogs and when we can expect to see things from review sites and preview sites. Next up, presentation on April 18th. This is the official teaser statement from EA that came in the release about this. NCAA Football 14 gets you closer to the action than ever before and tells the story of every game. Feel the drama of college football from a whole new perspective. Granted, we know some of what that entails, so we are not even going to speculate. We won't throw anything out there. However, looking at the blogs and videos and screenshots, there are a few presentation items that you can notice. Base layers, those are basically the sleeves underneath jerseys. Team-specific, such as those for Florida State, Texas A&M, those are noticeable in screenshots. Granted, anything team details like that has to be signed off on by the school, so there's always a slim chance that may not make it in retail, but basically the screenshots have indicated base layers will be in the game. Also, team-specific gloves, the very first screenshot of the year showed an Oregon player, and I may be wrong here, but it looked like his left hand had half of an O, which is the team-specific gloves, and when they put them together, you have the full O. I'm assuming that's what that screenshot was trying to tease a little bit and show that. The game in the other screenshots, you can see Wisconsin has theirs. Texas A&M also has a team-specific glove. I thought the presentation guys would be a little more exuberant and joyous in talking about this, but looking through a few community sites, I haven't seen much discussion on that. Am I overlooking that, Tommy, or is it one of those things that they wanted it, they got it, and now they're ready to move on to the next once they find out what did and did not make it, presentation-wise?
Yeah, you're right. I really hadn't seen anybody, you know, kind of pull that out. I mean, I've seen it a little bit. You know, I kind of saw some discussion about that they wanted it, but then now that it's here, it's not like anybody is singing EA's praises. I don't know if that's because of their tentative or they're waiting for it to actually be officially announced or what the case is, but it's definitely something that it doesn't have as much hype around it now that we have an idea that it's in there.
Yeah, I'm very surprised. But like you said, maybe you're right. Maybe if we're waiting until it's formally announced to see if their school has theirs. Because I think that's where a lot of it comes down to with presentation is that, especially on team details, people say they want it for every team, but the team they care most about is their own. And the guys who say they don't care about presentation, they do. They just care about their school. So I think, you know, if this gets formally announced and more detailed on April 18th, I think maybe that's when we'll see this the presentation guys and detail guys really get excited in talking about it. May 15th, this is going to be a very interesting playbook reveal. NCAA Football Ultimate Team. The official teaser statement, the much-beloved mode comes to the college game, allowing you to build up an unstoppable team. As we mentioned in the opening, all of the pre-order bonuses that we know as of right now for the different retailers give you different Ultimate Team player packs or conference packs. How will this work? There's been a lot of discussion when this was first leaked by GameStop with their pre-order bonus. the discussion immediately became, how is this going to work without a player license? Some discussion of, does EA have the license and we don't know it? Will it work like Diamond Dynasty and MLB The Show, where you have just basically fake players you can edit? How will this work? A lot of guesses. A lot of people were just wondering how it'll work. The immediate blowback, and I think this is not a shock, the people who don't play Ultimate Team, who have never played it, don't like it. I'm someone who, when Madden first announced it years ago, when I just heard about it, I thought it was silly. I thought, who is going to play this? Who is into this? I gave it a try, though, because, hey, I paid $60 for the game. I'm going to give every mode a try. I can see the appeal of it in Madden. I've not played it extensively in any other sports game. I do like it in Madden. Depending on how it works on NCAA, I'm interested to see how it works, to see if it's how it differs from Madden. Basically, Tommy, the reaction, I think, on a lot of the hardcore community sites was negative, except for those Ultimate Team fans who they eat this stuff up. Granted, we don't have the details, but what do you think about Ultimate Team coming to NCAA football?
Yeah, I'm somebody, I've never actually played Ultimate Team. I know what it's about, you know, I know the appeal to it, but I've never actually jumped into it, just because I don't play much FIFA, I don't play much Madden or anything like that. So it'll be interesting to see how it works on NCAA. It's something that, you know, I'll give it a shot, just because, like you said, I paid $60, might as well get, you know, my full money's worth or whatever. But at the same time, it's not something that, you know, it's really going to appeal long-term to me. But something that we know about the Ultimate Team across all of the games, it makes money for EA. It makes a lot of money. So, you know, anything that EA can do to kind of build up the, you know, just the NCAA appeal itself is a big boost for it, for the game going forward in the future. So if you start getting a lot of money from NCAA Ultimate Team, then, you know, the marketing and the higher-up guys will start to kind of, you know, earmark some of that money to go back into the game, of course. So it'll definitely be interesting how it's handled and how exactly it'll work. And, you know, I'm kind of curious of, you know, how the community will end up reacting to it once they see it.
There was some discussion on the site about concern about this taking away resources from other modes. And granted, we're not behind the scenes enough to know what it takes to build it, but I would assume that they were able to bring a lot of Madden Ultimate Team over, the backbone, the structure, that I can't imagine it took a lot of resources. I'm sure engineers had to work to implement it, but I would guess, and they may have hired somebody to kind of run it, but maybe the Madden guys are going to do double duty, that I can't imagine it took a ton of resources. And like you said, from all accounts, this is a big money maker for EA Sports, with Madden Ultimate Team, FIFA Ultimate Team, I believe NHL even has an Ultimate Team, that it only makes sense that they add this. That, as someone on our site said, they were kind of surprised it took this long to add it. Granted, we don't know the details, so maybe it's more extensive than we realize. And it's something that, even attending the community event, we heard about the details, but we have not seen it. So we're going to be just like the community, where when this is shown on May 15th, we're going to be just as interested as everyone else. May 28th, that's the big one for a lot of people on the gaming tailgate and just the community at large. Improvements to Dynasty Mode. The official teaser statement: there's no single path to success in college football, so build up your program into a powerhouse to fit your strengths and style of play by utilizing the brand new coach skills. I've seen quite a few guesses and some speculation on this, but I think a lot of people are taking a wait-and-see and to see what else is coming to Dynasty. This description makes it sound like the main or primary feature is something relating to coach skills, so it'll be interesting to see what other details did or did not get added into Dynasty Mode. Since we attended the community events and we know what's in Dynasty Mode, what's coming and not coming, we are not going to speculate. We're not going to give you anything to chew on or to worry about or to get distorted. The final playbook is going to be on June 17th, and it's for Play a Season. Focus purely on the on-field action and take your favorite team to a bowl game. The community speculation on this seems to be that it's going to be like the last-gen mode, where you play your 12 to 13, 14 games, and that's it, with no recruiting. Based on the description, that sounds accurate, but that's something that, again, I have to wait till June 17th to see the full details on how this works. That's going to wrap up NCAA Football 14, the gameplay being announced. Obviously, it's going to take a little while longer until we, you know, get some gameplay and can really issue any kind of verdict or community reaction to it, that right now in our heads we can see the description and think it's great, think it's terrible. You can twist it or distort it to whatever opinion you want to have. A lot of good questions being raised, though, by the community members on our site. If you have any questions or just want to keep up on the latest news, make sure to visit thegamingtailgate.com. On behalf of Tommy, this is Chris. Everyone, thanks for listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.